Okay, I'm here. Those clocks aren't accurate anyway.
No.
L and R. Why don't they label the ears as well as the damn headphones? At the Brandenburg Gate, President Obama calls for a concerto. No sense in moaning, is there? Well, what do you know?
Live from Kansas City, Missouri to Columbia, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, playwright and gorgeous author Paul Rudnick, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz, support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose new songs is Use for Yeezus, it's Michael Feldman.
Use for Yeezus. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. And of course, if something bad comes out of this speech, it would be Brandenburg Gate. That'd be pretty cool. Well, the meeting with Putin didn't go so well when the president opened with a Super Bowl ring joke. You know? It wasn't only that Putin took the Super Bowl ring, he was wearing it around his neck, which is really surprising. Okay, the House eliminates abortion, except in the case of Democrats. The plan to lasso an asteroid is shot down by the No Ways and No Means Committee. Of course, the Taliban negotiations, after shaking hands, remember to check all your extremities. Putin leaves the G8 summit with three Rolexes and a Louis Vuitton bag. Vuitton?
Vuitton?
Vuitton. Vuitton. That's what I meant to say. The NSA director testifies before the House Intelligence Committee, then has to kill them. The House Intelligence Committee. That's a tough committee to staff. NATO hands Afghan security off to the Iraqis. Obama tells Berliners, Ich bin eine Farfenugen. That's what I would do. Just, you know, start off with a joke. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski backs same-sex marriage because anything is better than Vern. That'll kill him up there. Dolce and Gabbana sentenced to jail for one bad pair of frames too many. What? I'm sorry, those of you wearing D&G. Love Dolce, hate Gabbana. That's just the way I feel about it. Thank you. Someone's got the giggles. Someone's got the giggle. I love it. And where was it? Miley Cyrus says the pot is for the cataracts. So young to have them. Well, the AMA says obesity is a disease, but large boned is a roll of the dice. Undocumented workers to install 700 miles of border fence. You have to be on the other side of it, of course, when you're doing it. That's, it's going to be tricky at points. It's a good start, but be nice to fence the coasts in case they come by sea, you know. So it's Atlantic and the Pacific fence would be really nice. One does have the sneaking suspicion all the border agents are to keep us in. However, huh? Thoughtful piece there. That'll you think about that on the drive back to wherever you're going. Paula Deen's N-word is NutraSweet. Paula's Apple Brown Betty has been expunged from the Food Network recipe book. So. There are ramifications. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will turn up in Hong Kong next. Yeah, I know. It's not for everybody. That joke. Not for everybody. I like to make little notes on these, so if I ever do this again. Supreme Court, defend your own damn marriage, I say. Especially you, Clarence. Iceland now has thermal springs, blondes, and year-round Snowden. For those whose brains aren't, comes the 3D brain. That's pretty good. And a 3D printer prints a 3D printer, which prints... and so on. Better joke in print. 3D print, it'd be great. It would come right at you. The girl from Ipanema barricades, latest from Jobim. Okay, a nothing. That's just my first nothing response. It's pretty good. It's like the end of it, practically. So that's not so bad. And Kanye's new song, Yeezus, is just all right with me. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And Riley, there she goes. Smiles, she dances, and that with me. I was just getting started, man. I cut it off, right? Paul Rudnick has joined us from New York City. His latest book is I think they call it juvenile fiction. I don't know why they do that. It used to be young adult, man. I will find out. It's called Gorgeous. It's a fable. And he's with us right now. And hi, Paul, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself? Fine?
Clear
that up. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Are you really good, or you just say that?
I'm really good. I'm back on your show.
Yes.
What more could a guy want?
I don't know. There must be something somewhere. And is it called juvenile fiction?
Well, they've been redefining the genre in all sorts of strange new ways. It's generally called young adult, but because the publishers have found that there's been so much crossover because of the huge successes like Harry Potter and The Hunger Games, that it's a new genre called young adult, which sounds like a strange new form of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where my book lands, because what I've found is that it's the heroine of the book is an 18-year-old girl, so that's why it made sense as young adult, but it's been crossing over to the adult market, which is, I'm writing for everybody.
Yeah, but what it says in that ISBN thing, you know?
Yeah.
In the jacketed hardcover, one, identity, psychology, juvenile fiction, two, beauty personal juvenile fiction, three, princess juvenile fiction, identities in parentheses there. And then
this
it says...
all going on my headstone. Especially the prince, juvenile princess, the Paul Rudnick story.
So you're saying it's young adult, it is not juvenile fiction.
Exactly.
What was your thinking in going, were you trying to win over this market, this emerging market?
Well, it's funny, when I started writing it, the book originally was inspired by something my mom said, which this was a few years back, and this was actually a couple of months before she died. She was going through photos of herself as a young girl and a young woman, and she looked up at me, and she said, you know, back then, I used to think I was so ugly, but I looked great. And it was kind of a heartbreaking moment. But then she left because she had this amazing sense of humor. But it got me thinking about appearance and about how all the physical side of things can rule our lives and how that can eventually catch up with you. So that was pretty much the spark. And I wasn't thinking in terms of whether this would even be a novel or a play or a movie or who knows. But once I started writing it in the voice of a young girl, of someone who was being bombarded with all these images of physical perfection and fashion and Kardashians, then it somehow made sense as a young adult that I thought, okay, this is a book for those girls and for everybody else as well. But that's how it began.
Yeah. Do you think they will read it? I mean, it's very funny and but it's kind of sophisticated in a sense. You think the Hunger Games girls are going to read this?
I've been getting letters, which has been very gratifying from 15-year-olds and younger, and they seem to get everything. I think that because
Fantastic.
We live in this age of just unbridled social media, it's pretty hard for anyone to miss anything. But yeah, and that's actually, I was especially happy because they felt that the voice felt true, that it was, they could relate. And I thought that, because that's the real danger of when you write in the voice of a character that's very far from your own experience. But ultimately, I felt shockingly close to an 18-year-old girl. Upsettingly close.
Yeah. It's pretty hard for anyone to miss anything. You want to stand by that statement?
Yeah, I just always wonder about when parents put those filters on their kids' computers. I thought, don't they think their kids have friends?
Really?
You know, I think that it's...
Sure.
And that makes me jealous of young people. I think they have access to everything.
Yeah.
They can be warped in whole new ways.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of, giving advice to my daughter at one point. I have two daughters, and she was having a problem with friends, you know, this friend's letting her down, and so forth. And I said, honey, you just have to know what you can get from a friend. You know a person, and they go this far, and you won't get anything beyond that from them. And just sort of get used, accept what you can get from a particular friend. And she said, Dad, you're not a girl, and you're not now.
Ooh.
So... You know, for you to make this...
I hope you turned to her and said, and you're not going to college. And you're not getting a car.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just never said anything to her again about anything, you know.
That sounds fine.
I just said, what time are you going to be back after that, you know.
Exactly.
Pretty much. So if you made that leap to this consciousness, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, well, I think always with teenagers, that's their most potent weapon is the I'm young and you're not.
Yeah.
Which is valid because it's kind of the only thing in their arsenal. They don't tend to have money. They don't have second homes. They don't have private planes, but they can always claim, you know what? I've got so much better skin than you do.
Yeah.
And you could always say, and how long is that going to last?
Yeah. But, you know, they don't say that. They say, you know, I'm breaking out again and I take birth control pills for my complexion. I say, oh really?
Me too.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, if it's for your face, that's fine.
Right, exactly. But I'll just keep this GPS monitor underneath your skin.
Yeah. And this girl, Becky, and who becomes Rebecca, or is both, I guess, it's a very understanding portrayal of this girl and the situation and how relentlessly horrible being young in school can be, you know, because people are mean, apparently. I mean, they're really mean, terrible.
Well, because also they can be mean in a far more global way nowadays because of Facebook and because of tweeting, that there are so many more ways for teenagers to get at each other.
Yeah.
And although it still is astonishing because on the other hand, there's a certain pleasure in that, you know, all those teen moms, even though every teen mom seems to end up in prison or in hardcore porn, you know, it's still a goal that you want that every mistake you make broadcast as widely as possible.
Yeah. Do you watch that, Teen Mom?
I have because sometimes it's mesmerizing because especially in the early episodes when the 14-year-old first finds out she's pregnant, and there's usually a scene on the world's ugliest couch where she's sitting about 5 feet away from a very lumpy boy with bad skin and a few whiskers, and she kind of mumbles, you know, I'm going to have a baby, and there's a long, long pause, and then he sort of says, like a baby? And that's kind of the end of the discussion.
Oh,
and then the girl breaks it to her parents, and the parents say, well, do you know what this means? You know, as if the girl had never seen a baby.
Yeah.
And that's it. So it's the most minimalist experience, you know? So that has its own kind of allure. But after a while, although I do love Farrah, the teen mom who's just made porn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where even though she had her entire family with her during the porn shoot, she still made that mild stab at saying, I never intended this to be released. You know, and you think, oh, why? Did you feel it was just another form of like a wedding video?
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I've had my teen mom moments. Although, it's nothing compared to the finest reality show of all time, which was I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, that has been on for years, and it's all about women who are not necessarily overweight, but they suddenly one day, usually in the bathroom of a fast food restaurant, give birth. And they are always shocked and stunned, as is the baby's father. And so it's like every episode is the same joke with the same punchline,
but
it always works because there's always that moment where she says, you know, and I was on the toilet, and then I heard something crying. And you want kind of the whole studio audience to join in and all chant, and I didn't know I was pregnant. But it's, It's just one of the finest uses of the reality medium, I feel.
Is that on Bravo? What is that on?
I don't know. I get confused in those sort of nether reaches of cable television.
Yeah. So they just thought it was a weight problem or something.
Yes, or sometimes it's a stomach ache. Like they always think, I think I had some bad fish. And you think, someday your child will grow up and watch this. And we'll know that will solve the riddle. Why is my nickname Bad Fish?
Yeah. Here's a little perch. Perch. Come here, honey.
You know?
Oh boy. Anyhow, the book. Is that a real show, or are you? This is.
No, yeah. No. This has been very popular for many years. It's it has a kind of dream quality to it.
I feel another juvenile fiction book coming here.
Well, you also, of course, want the first teenage male to have to appear on an episode if I didn't know I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Just as a new frontier.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, Gorgeous, this Becky, they say, is a very sympathetic character. And most of all, I guess, because of the relationship with her mother, who is a huge woman at this point living in a trailer. They're living in a trailer. But it's not, that whole part is not played out for comedy at all, which I really enjoyed about this. You know, it was funny, but the comedy wasn't at their expense.
Oh, absolutely, because I think that would be certainly the easiest route. And yeah. I wanted it to have a real emotional core, even though the book is in many ways very comic. But it also has a strong and very emotional fantasy element, because her mom has been morbidly obese and has been in very poor health. And she leaves her daughter a gift, which is after the mom dies, the daughter finds a mysterious phone number, which she calls. And then within minutes, she's in Manhattan, and she's meeting a legendary and reclusive fashion designer named Tom Kelly. And he tells her, I will make you 3 dresses, 1 red, 1 white, and 1 black. And if you wear them, you will become the most beautiful woman who's ever lived. So it's this extraordinary and supernatural offer, and it's also conceivably quite insulting and troublesome. But Becky says yes, and the book just flies from there, because I wanted the book to also have elements of stories like the Picture of Dorian Gray and right. even Sunset Boulevard a little bit, to have the sense of the uncanny and also the dangers of answered prayers, and plus the wild pleasures of answered prayers as well, because I think whenever anyone, male or female, at any age looks in the mirror, I think their first response is they can't quite tell what they're looking at, which has always fascinated me, that any time you think you know what you look like, you're wrong. And then you suddenly see a photo of yourself, and you either look surprisingly good, and you don't know where that came from, or you look monstrous.
Yeah.
But I thought, what if you actually looked in the mirror and saw everything you've ever dreamt of?
Yeah.
You know, what if you had that high, and what if it could last? So that just seemed very tempting. And there's, you know, there's kind of a Faust element to it of, what are you willing to trade for that kind of power? And so that's one of the places the book goes.
So it's juvenile Faust fiction.
Yeah, in many ways.
Pretty much.
And it's also in a pop culture sense, because it's there. The world offers a whole new set of temptations nowadays. And what if you could satisfy every one of them? What if you could have every degree of fame and wealth and fashion and branding? What would that destroy you, or would it make you the happiest girl on earth?
Yeah, and the most beautiful in the world.
Yeah.
It's a little Snow White in there. I mean, a lot of Snow White in here.
Yeah.
And but she's quite a, you know, I sort of the part in the trailer and the school and all that stuff really gets to me, because I taught high school for a while. But the meanness, that web page that they have.
Oh yeah, that's all too standard. That there's. Yeah. I don't know if I can use all the correct words, but it's pretty, or if you could fill in the rest. But it's a web page where all of the kids at a high school get to rank, especially all of the girls in that school,
right.
and talk about them in the most vicious and most intimate ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of the social media version of what used to be called slam books, when girls, I know they did this in my high school, you passed around a notebook, and without signing your name, you would describe every one of your classmates in the worst possible sense about their weight, their face, their skin, everything. And it's just that, especially at that age, it's just so overwhelming to face that kind of constant criticism and bullying and very knowing attacks as well. People who know just which buttons to push.
Yeah, so that's the Mean Girls kind of thing. The,
oh, yeah.
The slam books and all that. But this is really advanced, actually. And it's also wrong, but so, you know, at the same time, it's also clever because it's coming really from you.
Oh, well, thank you.
There's a certain drawback. I mean, they really are slams, but they're so funny.
Oh, yeah, no, well.
And so unbelievably clever. And so is she, you know, because Becky is, it's most of this is the first person, right?
Yep.
She's describing all this. And you know, she's very funny, insightful, and sounds a lot like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, no, because I didn't want her to be whiny. I thought, no, this has got to be a girl with some spirit to her who can really.
She's great.
But what was fun is that when you take all of these, because if you just write about the Hollywood, about landing on the cover of Vogue, about meeting the British royal family, that's fun. But it's much more fun if you write about it from the point of view of someone who's never been anywhere near that kind of stuff, who's experiencing it for the first time, and who's also a little skeptical, so that she can, you know, view it all from the eye of a typical American teenage girl. Mm-hmm. It just gives you a wonderful way in rather than taking only the sort of more Jackie Collins view of things.
Yeah. Can I impose on you maybe to read a little from this? Would you mind doing it?
Sure. Hold on. Let me get my copy. Do you have a favorite section? What would you like me to read?
I sort of like the beginning when she comes in New York, and sees the big city for the first time and that whole shock value. But anything that you think would be kind of you'd like to read, I guess.
Okay. Well, although there's another chunk that I've read a couple of times, which is. Once Becky is transformed into the gorgeous and glorious Rebecca Randall, she gets to go everywhere, and she actually meets Prince Gregory, who's kind of a Prince Harry type, who she suddenly, there's a very real possibility that Becky may end up as the Queen of England. But anyway, so she starts dating Prince Gregory, and he invites her, you know, as Rebecca, as this glorious creature, to an event in the British Museum. So this is basically their first date.
Okay.
There she is, said Prince Gregory, as I was presented to him in the huge central hall of the British Museum. Your Highness, I said, why are you laughing? I wasn't laughing. Yes, you were, although you tried to stop. So now you must tell me, what was so amusing? I had a choice. I could make up a convenient lie or just toss my hair, but when I saw the prince smiling at me, I took a risk. At the hospital, the prince had valued honesty, and he had a terrific sense of humor. So I decided that if I was going to spend any amount of time with the guy, let alone marry him within a very few months, I was going to sort of be myself. I'd look like Rebecca, but I dare to behave like Becky. I was laughing because where I grew up in the States, every guy dreams of being called Your Highness. My friend Rocher's stepfather sometimes pats his crotch and calls it King Rodney. The prince glared and then burst out laughing, insisting, you say the most impossible things. I'm sorry, it's just, I'm still not all that clear on royal protocol. I'm not sure if I should keep my head bowed when I'm around you, or stand a few steps behind you, or just pretend that you're a person. Well, I'm not at all sure how to behave around you. Should I try not to stare, or should I keep reminding myself that even if you're so beautiful, you might want to have a conversation? Or should I simply dissolve into a puddle of adoration at your feet? All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pretend that you're a guy, and you're going to pretend that I'm a girl. Very good. So how are you? Do you live nearby? May I get you a drink? Are you hitting on me? Perhaps. Do you have a job? Anyway, well, that just gives you a taste of it.
That's very sweet. And I love the interview she gets with the Queen, eventually, the three questions from the Queen.
Oh, yes, because I'm just such an enormous Queen Elizabeth fan, so Queen Catherine is very much my tribute to her, and of course the corgis, her beloved dog.
Yes, the many corgis, and the final question and all that, which is the winning question for her.
The one about you. Do you want me? Do you want to hear that?
Would you do that? I think that's
sure.
That knocks me out.
All right.
Interview with the Queen for a future daughter-in-law.
Yes, exactly. So, and the initial questions are more serious about who she would emulate as queen and why she feels she's qualified. But then there's one final question, and the corgis are very much sort of the jury in, with all these questions. All right, hold on. Let me see. Whoops. Wait a minute. All right, here we go. The queen says, question number three. For what is that expression? For all the marbles. You marry Prince Gregory. You become queen. Years pass. Despite your lasting and affectionate union, one morning you receive a tearful phone call from a close friend, and you discover that your beloved husband, King Gregory, is cheating on you. Who knows why? Who can say? Your beauty might have begun to fade imperceptibly. Perhaps your popularity exceeds his own. He's growing older and knows it and requires a diversion. Whatever the cause, there it is, in your lap. The corgis were eyeing me smugly, as if they'd known about the affair months before I did. If they had eyebrows, they were arching them. What do you do? Okay, then, ultimately, she thinks about this. She goes through all sorts of convolutions, but then she finally decides. The queen says, your answer, if you discovered that our darling Gregory was unfaithful, I would wait until he was sound asleep. And then I would grab a rusty hunting knife, and I would carve out his heart and serve it to him for breakfast with hash browns and real maple syrup. And then I'd put on a clown suit with big shoes and one of those cardboard party hats with the elastic under the chin. And then I would sing the national anthem and eat an entire box of Malamars while I tap dance on his grave. There was a pause as the queen looked to her corgis and vice versa. There was instantaneous and positive agreement. Welcome to the family, said the queen.
Welcome to the family.
Exactly. Oh, so that's how Becky gets the royal approval.
Yeah. And that's pretty much true, actually, when you consider the family.
Oh, yeah. My God, what that woman's put up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's it's so beyond the teen mom experience.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
terms of disappointing kids.
Now, and the whole the fashion angle of this now, Tom Kelly and such, I know that's not modeled on an actual designer, is it?
It's modeled on a whole batch of them. I think that it's a fairly recent historic phenomenon that designers have become pop cultural figures and not just brand names, but kind of heroes in a sense. Everyone from the early days of the Calvin Kleins and the Ralph Laurens to now to Marc Jacobs and Karl Lagerfeld and the whole John Galliano mess. But that these guys are their own form of baseball cards. People know who they are. And people, you know, when any of these guys does a lower cost line at H&M, it sells out instantly. And there are crowds packing the streets. So, yeah, so Tom Kelly was inspired by all those people,
all of them.
By that phenomenon.
Savior by Tom Kelly. I like that.
Exactly. Well, and that they all have those. Actually, one of my favorite insanities is whenever you look at fashion layouts in Vogue or Harper's Bazaar, they list the designer of the clothing being shown, and they list the fragrance the model is wearing. And you think, it's a photograph. There's no scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
But that people want, especially in those early days when they first started giving the high-end perfumes name like Poison by Yves Saint Laurent, you know, or the Urban Decay line of nail polishes, that people want things that sound fatal.
Yeah, yeah. And you seem to have a fashion sense yourself. I mean, do you know something about the fashion world? Or are you a fashionista or into that?
Well, I'm sort of more of a fan than anything else. I have friends in that world, and one of my oldest and closest friends is a wonderful Broadway costume designer named William Ivy Long, who actually just won his sixth Tony Award this year.
Oh.
But he taught me about when I watched him in sittings with actors and actresses, and how you can make people who are very nervous suddenly very happy with how they look and what that process is, and how a designer becomes a therapist and a parent and a policeman. You know that it's such a delicate moment when you're dressing someone. So, I've kind of absorbed it through those roots.
Yeah, like that fitting she got where they took a drop of blood from her finger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and just the whole idea of being measured in public is so humiliating. You know, it's even, I think, if you're an 8-foot-tall, 10-pound fashion model, you don't want anybody reading off those numbers. And that's what happens to Becky. So it's the kind of intensity of getting dressed, whether it's for a runway show or just, you know, in your bedroom in the morning. That's a very fraught moment.
And this is couture, I think that's what they said at that point.
The dresses are being made. That's the other thing. It's a real high. If anyone's ever had an outfit, whether it's, you know, home sewing or Tom Ford, when it's made just for you, it's suddenly you put it on and you realize the difference between JCPenney's and couture. That's a real high, and it's amazing, and it's very hard to go back. It's like the very few times I've been on private planes it felt like that. You feel absolutely filthy. You feel completely immoral, and you can't wait to do it again.
Yes. I hate it when it's made for you and it doesn't fit, isn't that? That's a bad feeling.
You know? Well, then you have to wonder, wait, I'm paying so much money for this. Am I allowed to complain or raise my hand? You know, because also fashion people can be very imperious. So if they don't want to change something, even if you're paying for it, it's hard to get them to come around.
So on the one hand, we're looking at fashion, but we're also looking at beauty.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's such, you know, and body image and all that stuff. And that's such, you know, it's such a big thing for young women, especially. You know, it's a tough area to deal with, even.
Oh, yeah. No, it's kind of monumental because it seems very as if it's the definitive superficial area. But on the other hand, as long as there are mirrors in the world, there's going to be body image issues and a celebration of beauty and a terror of its opposite. So it just seems like it's very rich turf because it's something that everyone faces, even if they kind of claim, oh, I don't think about that stuff or I don't care what I look like. Everyone cares, and everyone has to get dressed in the morning. So that it's, and you can either allow it to rule your life or destroy your life, or you can enjoy it. Because I wanted to go at it from both sides, that, oh, my God, we should never allow our physical appearance to dictate every other aspect of our lives and our self-worth. But there's also a kind of glory to beauty when you suddenly see someone, a man or a woman, and they just seem like another. Well, actually, I once worked on a movie where there was a very tall and glamorous movie star standing next to a rather short and squat one. And the short and squat one looked up at the glamour girl, and I heard her muttering under her breath, "A different species, a different species." And it was true, that sense that they walk among us, but they're not us. Yeah. You know that they're, it's why you put a fashion model on the cover of a magazine, because it's a dream. And yes, that can be painful for everybody else. Or you can just say, isn't that a gift from God?
Yeah.
You know, look at her.
It's a gift to some funny people. If you watch that runway show, which I do occasionally,
I must
admit. Those girls are such idiots. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're completely almost knowledge-less, you know. They don't know anything about anything.
Well, they've usually been models since they were about 11, although when I first moved to New York and I was working as a messenger because I didn't have any money, and I was sent to a fashion agency to deliver a package, and there was a whole batch of models sitting in the sort of lobby area.
Yeah.
And I was, because it was really cold outside because it was winter, I was wearing these gloves, fingerless gloves, these little wool gloves, where I cut off the fingers so I could still use my hands. And the models saw these gloves, and they loved them beyond belief. They were so impressed, and they were just oohing and aahing. And then one of the models turned to me, and she said, "How did you do that?" And I just wanted to hug her, you know.
Yeah, you wanted to.
And then when I said, you know, well, do you have a scissors at home? and I hope they're safety scissors. But so there is a certain perfection to a kind of model ignorance. Although I've also known models who are very bright. And
there
was one girl I knew who was wonderful. She was unbelievably beautiful, but she was smart. So she'd use it to see what she could get away with. Her whole goal in life, I think, was to see how outrageously could she behave before someone actually smacked her. But that was fun to watch because she made being that beautiful into kind of a sporting event.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a wonderful book, and you don't have to be juvenile to read this, or a young adult even. You can be an old adult like me and enjoy it. Paul Rudnick's gorgeous. Thanks, Paul, once again.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
As always, Paul Rudnick. Gorgeous is the book. And it's on Scholastic Press. Junior Scholastic has come a long way since I was reading them. Okay, there. Yes.
Oh, he's funny.
Yes. Yeah. Do you ever watch Project Runway?
Yeah. Occasionally.
Yeah. These girls are unbelievable. I mean, they really know nothing about it, and really don't care about knowing anything.
The designers you're talking about?
No, the girl, the models. Oh. They're all competing to be this model of the year for Vogue Junior.
Oh.
And then you see pictures of them, and they look just incredible. You know, I mean, yeah. they really, you know, that's that girl. That, you know, it was just.
Yeah. You know. Some of the models have a certain quality that. Without makeup, they look okay. Yeah. They're not gorgeous, but when you put the makeup on, it's like some exponential thing that happens to them.
Yeah, and that happens in Gorgeous by Paul Rudnick.
Yeah.
Okay, what you got here for us?
This is a kind of a beach song, kind of a, I don't know, say you're in St. Lucia or something on the beach. It's called Calypso.
Sounds good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Ms. Sarah Nix. Ms. Rick Myers is here from New Glarus. He's retired and waiting for wife to do some. Same. Sorry. Where is Rick? Oh, hey, don't worry. I see. To do some. Same. Were you the guy I saw swimming across the lake before the show? Was he swimming this way, towards, or away? Oh, it wasn't me. Thanks for asking, though. And then there's Dave Dahl, who's from Winona, Minnesota. Hi. This camp, is this true? I have to go meet this guy. Do you know, listen to this. I bought 25 pounds of gefilte fish on sale at Costco. Where is he again? Okay. Come on down here, will you? It'll be easier for you, probably. Is that the fish there? Did you bring it with you? Because you know you're coming to a Jewish guy's show. 25 pounds of gefilte fish? Do you know how much now you know. Do you know what it is?
There's carp in it.
Right, carp. And
other things from the water.
White fish, mostly bottom feeders. There's white fish, carp, and I don't know, my mom put stuff in it, carrots.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because there's not.
Why did you buy it, on a whim?
It was on sale.
Well, they're little round balls of chopped fish.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a fish, but it.
No, it's not. Like, a filter is actually not a fish. Did you think it was? When?
No, I think, I knew it wasn't an actual.
Have you had gefilte fish prior?
No.
So you're in Costco, and there's gefilte fish on sale. Is that...
Well, yeah, I had a 7 at the end, so somebody told me when there's a 7, it means it's on sale. Drastically reduced price.
If there's a 7, where do they put the 7?
At the end, yeah, like 97 cents.
It was 97 cents?
Well, no, it was like, I think it was like $4.97 for a half-gallon jar.
$5 for 20?
$4.97.
What are you going to do with it?
I want some ideas,
Give it to me. I like this stuff. You probably don't even hate it.
I've been just eating it out of the jar. Take it out of the fridge.
Well, you put horseradish on it, just to kill the taste.
Gelatin.
Horseradish.
Okay. All right.
But you only eat it on Passover or something like that. I don't think you can eat it on Passover. I don't think it's kosher for Passover. You can't eat it all, really. There's no occasion worthy of gefilte fish.
I've been eating it just out of the jar. You know, like,
do you like it?
It's really cheap.
Thanks, man. Let's give him something to wash it down. Can we give him something?
Yeah.
Send him with it. He's going to need something.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
Can
you
pair,
go back.
You can pair your gefilte fish with wines from Wollersheim Winery, whose wines won all kinds of gold medals at last month's 74th annual Los Angeles International Wine and
Spirits Competition. Get a bottle of wine to go with the fish. Is it white? Is it white wine? Yeah, go to the bathroom, man. You look pained. He said, I'm going to go to the bathroom as long as I'm standing up. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. So before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate. So who got that four disclaimers? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. I get you to stand right up here. And you are?
Yvonne Stoner.
Yvonne?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice to meet you. You want to take
nice to meet you.
Take this, take it over, and face the jury.
All right. Here are the four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Is there a rain date for the solstice? Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Perfect. Thank you so much. Yvonne, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try those hands at the What Do You Know quiz. So stop applauding for a moment and raise your hand if you want to play the quiz because you think, by gosh, I can do that. Okay, no one thinks that, apparently. He does. Good man. Good man. I knew you'd come in handy. Come on down to this aisle here and let's see your tax returns, first of all.
My tax return?
Yeah, Manya.
No, I don't even file them anymore.
You don't file them?
No.
They're going to catch up with you, you know.
No, they won't.
Why not?
I can hide in Singapore.
And you are? Your name, I mean.
Oh, my name. Okay. Bill.
I wasn't trying to diagnose you, you know.
Okay. Bill.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Just go with the Bill?
If you want to.
Okay. Bill? Are you from around here, Bill? Or?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. I don't talk like I'm from Wisconsin, do I?
Pretty much.
Oh, I do? No.
Yeah, we all talk like that. Yeah.
Colorado, Fort Collins.
Fort Collins, Colorado. We always applaud everywhere. Okay. Bill, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I know absolutely nothing.
Perfect. You're perfect. You couldn't be more perfect. And I like the way you're dressed. You're casual. Dress casual. Come on up here, Bill. Have a seat right there, if you will. Is that gonna? You're not gonna trip on that.
Probably.
What's that cord hanging? Don't touch any of my equipment.
No.
What's that cord hanging out?
It's not your junk, though.
Stop it. Or I'll send you back to the audience. It's never been done, but it could happen. What's the cord hanging out there for? What do you put on that?
My keys.
There's no keys on it, though.
The other end.
Oh, the other end. Oh, but I like you already, Bill. I feel like I've known you all my life.
We have.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did we first meet, do you think?
I'm your cousin.
You're the one we don't talk about.
No, you're the one we don't talk about.
Well, you win that exchange, Bill, but I'll get back at you later. So how are you? Are you on vacation now, or?
Yeah, permanent vacation.
Oh, permanent vacation. Okay.
Is this retired.
Retired. What did you retire from?
44 years of teaching.
44 years of teaching. Mm-hmm. Wow. Same grade all that time?
No, I got promoted once in a while.
Where did you end up? What grade did you end up in after 44 years?
College.
College? And what do you teach?
Mathematics.
Mathematics, right. Has it changed much over the years?
No. Despite what Congress does, 1 + 1 is still 2.
Yeah. Is this higher math? Did you teach higher math?
Was higher than third grade math, yes. In college.
What is higher math?
It's when you go up to the second floor and you can you're in with all the big shots.
Okay. Was math always your love, even as a child?
Oh, no, I wanted to be a fireman.
Fireman? What kept you from it?
I was afraid to climb a ladder.
Did you try try to master that fear?
To master the fear? Oh, no. No, never.
No. No. Could you, are the firemen to just stay on the ground with the hoses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could do that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work out?
No.
So then, did you go straight to math from firemen, or did you, was there something in between?
Well, I tried babysitting first.
Babysitting?
Yeah.
So the fireman didn't work out, you went to babysitting.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same.
And that didn't work out, so I went to education.
Education. And you were trained at a school of education?
No, I was trained to be a preschool babysitter. Yes. But it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same training.
Yeah. And then straight to math teaching then after the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was 12 at that time.
You were 12. So you were a prodigy at one time.
I don't know what that means.
Well, then you weren't, because you would have known what it meant if you were a prodigy, obviously. That goes without saying. Well, it's nice to have, and are you on, I know you're on permanent vacation, but is this a tour or something? Are you seeing?
Well, we came to visit our friends, and they said we were going to go see Garrison Keillor.
This is the best you could do, huh?
Yes.
On short notice?
He was sold out.
Oh, yeah. If this weren't true, it would be very funny, I think. Yeah, okay. That's too bad. Well, thanks for falling back on this position here.
Yeah. The donuts were good. I didn't know that's what all my contributions were going for. Yeah. Donuts and coffee here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, all your public radio contributions. Yeah.
I thought it meant paying you a salary or something.
No. We get paid nothing.
Okay.
We get paid in leftover donuts and coffee and such.
There's not many left because I had five.
Did you? Well, we cut them in half. Did you have five halves or did you have five?
That's a math question. I don't know that.
I want to shake your hand. Thank you very much, Bill. Okay, Bill, I'd love to talk to you all day, but it seems like I have already. So I think we're going to play the quiz now. Someone out there plays along with you. It's a general knowledge quiz.
General knowledge?
General knowledge.
I've never been in the military.
Not trivia, because it's my life, so I want you to know the difference there. And someone out there calls in. How do they do that, Sarah?
They pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question.
Here's the question. You are not going to like the way you look anymore. I guarantee it. Why? That's the question, and I'm asking it of Jonas in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jonas.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
Doing good.
You're going to have to pronounce the name of the town that you're in.
Bala Cynwyd.
Bala Cynwyd?
Yep, that's the name.
Cynwyd is spelled Cynwyz.
Yep.
That's something you could have said, Bill.
I hope she's smart from that town.
Yeah. Jonas, you are not going to look like the way you look anymore. I guarantee it. Why?
Oh, what's the question?
That's it. It's from a TV commercial.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, you are not going to like the way you look anymore. I guarantee it. Why?
You're not going to like the way you look anymore. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah, that's
why.
From a TV.
And it's from a commercial.
A TV commercial, yes. Jonas, do you know Bill from any? You guys should know each other.
All right. You're not going to like
yeah.
the way you
look.
Is it perhaps the men's warehouse commercial with the older gentleman on there who's been on every commercial for all these years?
Let's see. You're not going to like the way you look anymore because...
Yeah, okay.
Need an answer.
Need an answer, yeah. No? Yes? No?
I have an answer. Can you... I believe you're not going to like the way you look anymore because you're getting... You're, like, getting older.
Yeah. No, sorry, that's not it. Thanks, Jonas. Bye. Molly's on a... Molly's... Milwaukee, Molly, help me out here.
Men's Warehouse.
Men's Warehouse. Okay, thank you, Molly. That was too easy. Molly, Bill. Bill, Molly.
Hello, Holly.
Molly, Bill. Met Bill.
Hello.
Okay, let's... And we have various categories in this quiz. Hi, Molly. How are you?
I'm great.
Here they are.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Molly, what would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Does the body make its own rotten egg gas? Should have learned that in school.
Yes.
No.
Yes or, and no?
No, it doesn't.
Well, what does Bill say?
He says, we heard him. He said no.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
Yeah, he said no.
Okay, no.
It's yes. Bill, you're ruining the whole show. Unbelievable. That would be...
Zero right and one wrong.
It obviously does. Anyone in school knows that. And,
the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Bill?
People and places.
People or places.
People are. Okay, places. I'm not good at math.
Can you be on every week? In Japan, if you refer to a woman as Tamago Kato no Kao, egg with eyes, is that good?
Well, it depends on how much it cost.
The egg?
Or something like that, yes. I would say that's probably not good.
Molly, you think that's actually a compliment? Tamago Kato no Kao. Egg with eyes. Refer to a woman as an egg with eyes. Is that actually a compliment or not?
Yes.
She says it is.
Well, then she can be right.
Yes, she is right. That is a compliment. Okay. That's a good thing. So that's...
That is one right and one wrong.
Okay. And here's the deal now. We got one more chance to win this quiz because we're running short on time here. So you get this question right, I'm going to give it to you guys. And what's left?
Current events, people, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Molly?
Current events.
Current events. Right out of the news. Work on this, Bill. Talk with your partner. The asteroid Grand Challenge is not a dollar slot machine, but what? NASA's asteroid Grand Challenge. In the news now.
They're looking for somebody to figure out a way to
shoot it down.
To what?
Predict? Shoot it down.
To shoot down the asteroids?
Yeah.
And perhaps to find out where they are first?
They're trying to figure out a way.
Yeah. So that's the grand challenge?
I guess. If you say so.
So to find out where the asteroids are and some way of dealing with them, is that what you're saying, Molly?
Yes. Yes.
Bill, would you have to agree with that?
I would agree with Molly.
That's right. That's it. The asteroid grand challenge. Holy cow.
Bill, although the cows on the corn course have returned to the pasture, it's still June Dairy Month, and you can celebrate with fabulous handcrafted cheeses from Fromagination on Madison's historic Capitol Square. Molly, welcome these early summer dawns with Steve McBrew's Breakfast Blend, and while away lazy afternoons with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steve McBrew Coffee, that's coffee done right. And each of you may find health and happiness with a package of crunchy, funky monkey treats, uniquely freeze-dried to contain all the flavor and nutrients of fresh fruit, and get a complete education between the covers of What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
You rule, Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Feldman.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Tickets are available
Molly
for our upcoming shows in Madison. Actor Tom Bennett joins us next week. Call 608-262-2201 or click over to notmuch.com to reserve your ticket now. Click over to notmuch.com to keep the What Do You Know fun going throughout the week. You can join our Facebook family, enjoy Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Minota Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a Bayou Blast with our Town of the Week. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's not about to defend his marriage, it's Michael Feldman.
Not about the wife? Oh. Okay, got that. Okay. All right, then. Each week at this time, we... memos.
That's right.
Memos, what it is. Actual memos from actual listeners. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for the memos. And we do have this here. This is more of a submitted something or other. How to know if you grew up in rural Wisconsin. So, there's a lot of them. But you know you grew up in rural Wisconsin if you know how to polka but never tried it sober. You know what knee-high by the 4th of July means. You know it is traditional for the bride and groom to go bar hopping between the church and reception. That's good. You know the difference between green and red farm machinery and would fight with your friends on the playground over which was better. You buy Christmas gifts at Fleet Farm. You spent more on beer and liquor than you did on food at your wedding. You hear someone use the word oofda, and you don't break into laughter. You or someone you know is a dairy princess at the county fair. You know that combine is a noun. You let your older siblings talk to you into putting your tongue on a steel post in the middle of winter. You think Lutheran and Catholic are the major religions. You know that crick rhymes with pick. Football schedules, hunting season, and harvest are all taken into consideration before wedding dates are set. A Friday night date is getting a six-pack and taking your girlfriend shining for deer and then out for Friday night fish. Take your girlfriend shining for deer. That's good. Saturday, you go to your local bowling alley. There was at least one, if not several, in your class who had to help milk cows in the morning. You have driven your car on the lake. In the summer as well, I would imagine. You can make sense of Up North, Battery, and Warsh. Every wedding dance you've ever been to has had the hokey pokey and the chicken dance. Your definition of a small town is one that only has one bar. The local gas station sells bait. You hear a bell ringing? Is that your phone? Isn't that cute? It's a chime. Can you chime them back later, maybe? At least twice a year, some part of your house doubles as a meat processing plant. You think that the start of deer season or the Packers going to the Super Bowl is a national holiday. And you actually understand these jokes and will forward them. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Oh, thank you for that. That was very cute. That was from Jim Bradshaw, who's from North Muskegon. Did you know there's a North Muskegon? I knew there was a Muskegon. Did you? Pretty cool. North Muskegon. Probably a classier zip code or something in North Muskegon. And here's the actual memo sent in by an actual listener. An office memo. I won't tell you where it was sent, but it reads as follows. It is with great sadness that I inform you that Kim passed away last evening. As details concerning the funeral are known, I will share with the membership. Please keep Kim's family and friends in your thoughts and prayers. The chapter will send a card on behalf of the membership to the family. Regards. Email number 2, that same morning. Due to miscommunication from several sources, I was informed that Kim had passed away. I'm happy to let you know that information was incorrect, and she's doing fine. I sincerely apologize to all, especially to Kim. Regards, the chapter president. Thank you very much for that, Mobo. It's nice to receive one like this, isn't it? Sort of. Yeah.
Poor Kim.
Poor Kim, yeah. But she's doing fine. So
good. What a relief.
Yeah. Where can they send those to?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. And if they want to, let's say they're into the Twitter sphere.
Yes, they could tweet them to you.
Yeah,
or 140 characters per tweet, please. Okay. Your handle's at My Feldman.
Oh, it is on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Twitters.
I never know what to call those.
Yeah.
Well, you know, each week at this time, or hardly ever, but this week for sure, we honor a town, village, or burg. A town, a village, or a burg, or a piano player from somewhere across the U.S. picked by our dart to this rearranged map of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And with our town of the week, here is Sarah Nix.
About halfway between New Orleans and Lafayette is where you'll find our town of the week, Morgan City, Louisiana. It's an island in the floodplain of the Atchafalaya River. The city calls itself a gumbo of the native African and European people who settled in the area.
What's that river again?
Atchafalaya.
That was so good.
Thanks. The island's strategic location gave the town a prominent role in the war between the states, after which it became a trade center for cypress, seafood, and fur. In the 30s, Morgan City became known as the jumbo shrimp capital of the world. In 1937, they held the first Louisiana Shrimp Festival. When the black gold rush hit the coast of Louisiana, Morgan City's economy boomed, and in the 60s, that annual festival was renamed the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival. I'm guessing that all of the city's 12,300 residents go to the festival every year for the Cajun Cooking Feast, the Arts and Crafts Fair, or the music. Morgan City's had a few brushes with fame. The island swamps were the backdrop for the filming of the first Tarzan movie. Old-time Cardinals...
Really?
Yep.
The silent movie?
Yep, 1917.
No kidding.
Yep. Old-time Cardinals pitcher Eddie Dyer is from Morgan City, or was from Morgan City, rather. So was Black Panther Geronimo Pratt, Olympic figure skater Burt Lankin, and football player Jermaine Jones. Visitors to Morgan City can stop by Mr. Charlie, which bills itself, quote, the only place in the world where the general public can walk aboard an authentic offshore drilling rig, end quote. If you're looking for a little sports action, check out the Morgan City High Tigers. Looking for Cajun food, there's Rita Mae's Kitchen, Lisa's Po' Boy Shop, and a host of other...
Slow down. You're going too fast. Oh. Rita Mae's what?
Rita Mae's Kitchen.
I'm trying to write all this down as you're saying it. Yes, Rita Mae's Kitchen. Yes.
Lisa's Po' Boy Shop.
Come hang on.
And?
Which do you recommend?
probably Rita Mae's.
Rita Mae's.
And a host of other local spots.
Okay, good.
And that's our town of the week. It's Morgan City, Louisiana.
Very nice. Very nice description of Morgan City. And we're calling randomly, or Lyle is right now calling randomly to Morgan City, looking for a Feldman somewhere in Morgan. That's what usually does. He starts with that for some reason. The odds are against it in most places. I think in Morgan City it would be unlikely that he actually will find a Feldman by dialing
it
randomly.
It is, in fact, a gumbo of the native African and European settlers.
Okay.
So there could be a Feldman
something
in that
mix. The gumbo. A Feldman in the gumbo, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And, okay, he's got one here. Not a Feldman, Nelson Cortez in Morgan City, Louisiana. Hi, Nelson. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very nice to speak with you. Thank you for speaking with us. We are honoring Morgan City, Louisiana, on our show today as our town of the week.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
Did you hear Sarah's description of same?
Yes, I did.
Anything on there that you want to alter or elaborate on?
Well, she came pretty close on pronouncing the name of the river. It's not Atchafalaya, it's Atchafalaya.
Atchafalaya.
Okay.
It sounded good, though.
Yeah, it did.
Atchafalaya. Is there a meaning to that word? You know what that might mean?
No, it's given credit to the Indian culture with some Indian meaning, but that's one of the things that I'm not quite sure of.
Yeah. Are you from there originally, or?
Yes, I'm a native.
You are? Okay. And so
French and Spanish heritage.
Yes. Okay, that's very cool. And are you in either the shrimp or the petroleum business yourself?
No, but I'm a member of the board of directors for the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival.
Yeah. Who named that? I mean, is that at all a problem? And because tourists, seeing that, probably don't want their shrimp in petroleum.
No, they want their shrimp cooked in cooking oil, but not petroleum.
Yeah.
It started out as the Louisiana Shrimp Festival, the oldest chartered harvest festival in the state.
Wow.
After, and then when the petroleum industry came along, the power that be just decided to add petroleum to it, because it's the two major industries that have changed the face, the economic face of Morgan City through the years.
Yeah. But it implies that the shrimp is somehow involved with the petroleum, so that's...
Well, you know, you need that gasoline, that diesel fuel to power those boats to go out and catch those shrimp.
That's true. That's a good point. What business are you in or field?
I'm a retired educator.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, 34 and a half years in the classroom.
High school? Grade school?
Yeah.
High school?
High school.
Well,
primarily juniors and seniors and upper-level business courses.
Oh, how cool. How cool. And now I understand you can actually go on an offshore rig there. Is that a restaurant, Mr. Charlie's?
No, it's actually it is the first offshore rig that was used in the Gulf. It is now moored on near the railroad track in a dock in Morgan City. It's actually used as a training facility.
Oh, I see.
By several of the local oil companies to train individuals on what it's going to be like to be on a rig for a length of time. Where you won't be getting off of it for as much as 28 days.
Yeah, cool.
But it is open for tours.
So you go out and
it is. It's open for tours, and the gentleman who does the tours does a remarkable job. When you come off of there, you know a little bit more than you did before you got there.
Yeah. Is it fun to grow up in Morgan City?
I felt it was. Yeah. We're 6 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico, so if you want to do saltwater fishing, it's just an hour's boat ride away. If you wanted to do freshwater fishing, you almost just went a few blocks and you could find freshwater and fish. We have a fabulous freshwater lake, Lake Palouard in Morgan City, which has a phenomenal campground attached to it. And so you have all the hunting and fishing that you could possibly want. And if you don't want, you know, catch the seafood or kill the game, there are numerous restaurants that you can go in and get some fabulous Cajun-style food.
Yeah. I bet the food is pretty good there, huh?
It is. Second only to New Orleans in my book.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you prefer? What kind of Cajun dishes do you prefer?
I like gumbo. Gumbo is my favorite. Any type of gumbo is one of my favorite foods.
Yeah.
And second to gumbo, I like, we have, in this area, we have blue crab. And I really enjoy any dish prepared with crab.
Yeah. Do you make your own gumbo? I understand people pass. You can inherit a roux from your parents, I guess. You pass on.
I don't cook.
You don't cook at all, huh?
I don't cook. All I do is if it's given to me in a bowl, I can microwave it. But I couldn't even begin to tell you how to make a gumbo. But I can tell you how to eat it.
Yeah. Is there a cook in your family at least that you can eat from?
Yes. My mother and father were both excellent cooks.
Yeah, how cool. Is that true about the roux, by the way, that gets passed on? I heard someone talk about that.
it takes some time to learn how to master roux making, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. And how is the shrimp this year, the harvest and so forth? Good year?
Shrimp season is just kind of kicking off. It's two or three different seasons during the year, but the potential for the catch this year is supposed to be pretty good, provided we don't have any unwanted visitors in the Gulf in the form of tropical storms.
Yeah. How has it been pretty good so far as the storm situation?
We've only had that one little disturbance in the lower Gulf, well, actually Bay of Campeche, but everything else is fine.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. And this festival, when is the festival itself?
It's held annually, Labor Day weekend every year.
Labor Day weekend.
We kick it off on Thursday prior to Labor Day. And it runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and it includes an extensive craft show, tremendous amount of food booths. We have in City Park, because the festival actually takes place in downtown Morgan City in the historic district, and we have music in the park beginning on Friday night and ending on Monday, Labor Day evening.
Yeah, that's fun. That sounds fun.
Yes.
Now, if we were coming down there, Nelson, not necessarily for the festival, but we were just coming down there, what's the one place you would want to take us that tourists wouldn't normally see, where the locals like to go or hang out, or a spot like that?
Lake Inn Park I was referring to earlier, it has cypress trees, it has a beach, you're right on this big freshwater lake, you can swim, there's potentials to... rent craft to go out on the lake. Just walking in Morgan City downtown to the Atchafalaya River, it's a pretty It's a pretty big river, and it runs pretty fast, located between two small towns. That's an interesting thing as well. And then just walking through the historic district, we have buildings in our historic district that, you know, from the early, late 1800s to straight through to modern times.
Yeah. Now, if we're boating through the cypress groves and all that, do we have to worry about any large animals with teeth?
Yes, you will see quite a number of alligators. The alligator
That's the
population
one.
Is pretty extensive.
Yeah, but not to worry, right?
Not to worry. Now, if you get out the boat, you might have a problem.
So, in the boat, you're no problems as long as you're in the boat. So, you just don't want
to
rock. You don't want to rock the boat, I guess.
No, it would not be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done any snaring of gators or that sort of thing?
No, I just observe them from a distance. But my father was an alligator hunter, and his largest alligator he killed was 12 feet long.
No kidding! Wow, wow. That's
yeah, and the largest one I've ever seen myself was 13 feet long.
Wow. So your father hunted alligators, and your parents both were great cooks, and you just decided that skips generations or something? You don't do any of that?
It skips mine.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No children.
We can't see if that skips yours to the next generation. Well, Nelson, thank you so much for speaking with us. It's really fascinating, and it's great to talk with you, and it sounds like a great place to be, Morgan City, and to visit. And we have a little something for you.
Yet Nelson will be sending you the pride of America's Dairyland in a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley family of farms.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Nelson Cortez, ladies and gentlemen, from Morgan City, our town of the week.
Oh.
I shouldn't give it to him because he always keeps the microphone. Oh, this is how we pick our town of the week. We have this the map where no state is where it should be because we kept hitting Nebraska as a bullseye, you know, on the map. Someone like to throw this dart and pick our town of the week for next time out? Nobody would. I could just go up there and pound. Yes, from our trivia team here, representing the Dunder Mifflin trivia team. Your name is?
Danny.
What is your trivia team, Danny?
Oh, that's a good question. It's
a name for those, right?
It's D-Pan Sexy Man at hotmail.com.
Okay, forget about it. Yeah. We want to step up here and close your eyes now and spin around three times and release.
Make sure I'm facing this way, right?
Good. Jeez. No, a little more. Okay.
No.
To the right, a little more, a little right.
Oh, yeah, okay. Perfect. Good.
Now throw it. Yes!
Yay!
Morgan City, Louisiana. And again, somewhere in Alabama.
I think that's
here,
Georgia.
Here, you win this book, Gorgeous, by Paul Rudnick. Enjoy that. And what did he hit here? I don't know. What is it?
Is that Georgia?
Somewhere in Georgia. Looks like Sparta, near Lake Sinclair in Georgia.
Fantastic.
Huh? Are you excited about that? Holy cow. What a throw. Take it away, gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
All righty there. Melissa Voter, is it? Voter? As in voter? Is she here?
Just stepped out.
Oh, she stepped out. That door leads straight down to the lake, though. Did she take that one? That's quite a drop. It's at least 50, 60 feet. Okay. Well, here's what she does now. She deals with stupid people all day. She's a tech support specialist. And I think she'll be looking for something else pretty soon because it sounds like it's getting to her. All right, we'll find out if she ever gets back from that drop she's about to take. Rick Conrad from Manitowoc asks, has Clicks and Clacks retirement had any impact on your show? Yeah, we have two less listeners. Although I don't think they did anyhow. So it really has had no effect on my show whatsoever. And just wish them the best in their retirement. Courtney Sikorsky markets toilet paper in Appleton. That's not an unusual job in Appleton. Everyone is flinging their toilet paper around in Appleton, trying to get you to buy it. Let's find out what it takes to market toilet paper. We don't call it toilet paper, do we?
We do call it toilet paper.
We do?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a development, though, isn't it, in the whole approach to toilet paper, calling it that?
Well, there's lots of research that goes into it, yeah. But toilet paper is where it's at.
For a while, it was bathroom tissue, and we didn't know what that was, and we're grabbing the Kleenex to wipe ourselves.
And that's why there's marketers in the world to help you.
Yes. When you're trying to sell toilet paper, what do you pitch? What do you stress? The number of plies?
Softness, luxury, like a luxurious experience.
Luxurious experience in what sense?
I'll let you figure that out.
Oh, this is luxurious. I'm going to do that again. Just the softness is equated with luxury.
Absolutely.
Are we going to see 3 or 4 plies in the future?
I'm not at liberty to tell you.
What about the, is it more absorbent than it used to be? Each ply more absorbent? Made advances in absorbency?
We have made advances in absorbency. There's a lot of technology behind it, believe it or not. Yeah.
Are you Kimberly Clark or?
Maybe.
You can't. I actually saw, and they did a poll. They did a survey of people how they use the toilet paper, if they bunch or if they fold or if they just stick their finger through the paper. So apparently, there's a small minority who do that. Do you know that study I'm talking about?
I am aware of that. Yes.
Does that at all affect? Did you try to sell different types of paper to the folders or to the punchers?
It all goes back to the luxury piece, I swear to you. Yep, so some people scrunch it, some people fold it. We just want you to buy more. That's the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Reusable? Can we see reusable where you could just throw it in the machine or something afterwards and then have like perpetual, like the stamp, you know, the forever stamp, forever toilet paper?
That's an interesting idea. I'll take it back to the research and engineer department.
Thank you, Courtney, very much. Nice to have you here. How are you? You doing good too? Are you in toilet paper as well?
No, I'm not.
It's an interesting thing. What city is the screw capital of the world? And from Bettendorf, Iowa. I'm thinking it's Bettendorf. Because why would she ask, right? If Bettendorf was not the screw capital of the world, I don't.
And it's Rockford, Illinois.
Well, I knew that. See, because there's a big screw plant in...
Yeah, it's the machine tool capital. It used to be of the world. And there's several screw companies. They're the manufacturers.
Well, Rockford screw is synonymous. Rockford is synonymous with screw.
It's on Jeopardy, so that's the story.
Well, but I thought you're from Bettendorf, so it was Bettendorf.
Yeah, I know, but I grew up in Rockford.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you still have that loyalty.
I still have that very much loyalty.
Bettendorf.
The three of us all went to Rockford West High. So we're
Rockford West. The
the Warriors.
What?
The Rockford Warriors. Warrior.
West.
Oh, I said lawyers. The Rockford Lawyers. That would be the Fighting Lawyers from Rockford.
From Rockford, Illinois.
Yeah. Do you still remember the song?
Oh sure.
Okay.
So ring out 3 cheers for Rockford, dear Rockford, for you know we love you so. We'll never forget you when at last we all must go. What's wrong with you guys?
I don't know.
Rockford!
I thought it was 3 cheers for Rockford.
And Bettendorf. What do we have for our Rockford reunion here?
Well, the only thing that's shareable here really is wine.
More wine! Wine! A little wine?
Wine, I love wine. Thank you.
You can sit down. I'm not going to give it to you right now. You have to wait for it.
Yeah, so how about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumée, top-notch wines from the Wollersheim Wine.
Oh, perfect.
I don't even know the song. You don't deserve them.
I'll tell you about Chief Alinawek. He was our...
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about him. That old thing, okay. Screw capital of the world. Do you think I am short? People say I am. Ann Nagin from Bettendorf.
That's right.
You got 2 cards in one show.
What was the question?
Do you think I'm short?
Yes. People think I am, yeah.
Stand up, or you are, I'm sorry.
I am.
Yeah, she was standing up. Okay, that answers that question. Okay.
That's my question.
Yeah, okay, you're not getting any more wine, though, so sit down. Sit down, Ann. Maile Paalani, is that right? From Honolulu? Is that close?
Maile Paalani.
I said that.
Yeah.
I didn't say it as nicely as you said it. From Honolulu. Wow. Are you living in Honolulu yet? Or are you visiting here? Or?
Let's just say I live between there and here sometimes.
Let's just say what?
I'm here with my Hula sisters.
You're here with the Hula sisters?
Yes.
Oh, I see something coming on here, ladies and gentlemen.
We can teach you to hula.
Okay.
Okay, bend your knees.
Bend my knees.
Yep, follow along.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to push your hips and you're going to go that way, right?
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
Here we go. One,
whoop,
two,
whoop,
three.
Whoop.
One.
Ow.
Two, three.
Ah, I heard something
see?
Pop.
It's a great exercise.
I heard something pop.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
The hula pop, I get.
The hula pop.
And are you all friends from school or from?
We all dance hula together.
Oh, that's what it
that's
is.
Why they're my hula sisters.
Okay, so we've got Miley.
Cindy.
Elena.
Elena.
John.
You dance the hula too, John?
I narrate for their shows and. Once I was embarrassingly dragged up on stage at a show to do hula. Yeah. Really bad.
Yeah. You didn't wear the coconut shells or anything, did you?
No. Yeah.
I gave him a lava.
A lava
is a what?
Which you wrap around your hips so that it really accentuates it.
Is it asking too much if I could just see just a few seconds of what it's supposed to look like instead of what I was doing?
Sure. What shall we do?
Nobody else will see, right?
No, it's radio.
Okay.
Come on.
What are we doing?
Hula sisters. Hula sisters.
Elena?
A little bit here.
Okay.
Do we need some hula music?
We'll
do something really
easy.
I don't
okay. Yes, he does.
Little Grass Shack.
Aloha Lay. You know that one.
Do a jazz band. I'm on a bass solo for one.
A hula solo.
Wanna go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. I wanna be with all the kane and wahine that I used to know. What's after that? Hear the old guitars playing on the beach at Ho'onauna. I can hear the old Hawaiians saying, Komo mai no ka ua ika haleveka how we won't be long till my ships will be sailing back to Kona. That grand old place, it's always fair to see. You're telling me I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island girl. I want to go back to my fish and toy. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii, where the humu humu nuku go swimming by.
Repeat.
Where the humu humu nuku nuku apua goes swimming by lava.
I wish you could have been here. But you got the idea. The Hula Sisters. The Hula Sisters. Wonderful. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
We have a little something for you. I bet it's wine.
How about it?
Yes.
Yes. How about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumé, both from the Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah, at least two.
They love us over there.
Mahalo nui loa.
And to you as well. Oh, thank you. That was very sweet. I loved it. And you're a CPA, besides.
Yeah, we won't say what that really stands for.
Okay. It's not certified public accountant. I've been paying this guy for no reason all these years. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're going to play another round of the what do you know? Oh, wait a minute. I can't. Red Hat ladies. I cannot ignore my Red Hat ladies. I'm sorry I've waited this long. You got the sexy little red thing on your head.
What am I supposed to say about it?
I don't know. What were you thinking? You made that, right?
No, I didn't.
No? Who made that for you?
I bought it somewhere, but I can't remember where.
Victoria's Red Hat Lady store, was it?
It was a long time ago. Thank you.
Very nice. But it makes me want to talk to you for a while and find out more about you. You know, like what you're doing, that sort of thing.
I'm retired.
You are? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Give us plenty of time. And you are?
Elaine.
Elaine, okay. Are you all from the same place?
Madison, anyway.
Oh, you're all from Madison. Yeah. Elaine's from here. She let's meet some of our other red hat ladies. You guys do hula by any chance? Red hat, you do?
I've been to Hawaii twice. But I met you 25 years ago.
You did? Hawaii?
No, Radio City.
In Radio City?
Yeah.
No kidding.
When you first, that was one of your first years, I think.
Possibly.
You had me read over the air, a funny story,
yeah.
And it was so funny I just laughed. So I think you regretted that you had me read, but
yeah. I wish I had the story right now. I would give it back to you, and we'd remember that moment.
I remember the story, but I laughed ever since.
Boy, that was a good story. I bet I didn't write it then. In that case.
I don't remember.
Yeah. And you are?
My Weezy.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you and be here.
You're still laughing. All amazing. I hope you're still laughing when you leave. And we got here.
I'm Nancy.
Hi.
Have
we met somewhere? Or you dance hula or anything? We
no, I don't.
Hang your red hat on there?
No. No.
Okay. Did you make?
I work in a dental office. I'm not retired yet.
Is the red hat... ladies, is that a social organization or
we call ourselves Mad Red Hatters.
Mad Red Hatters. Some people don't know exactly, like your meetings are like bacchanals, really. Right. Anything goes. There's a lot of drinking, I understand. And
Sissy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Sissy.
And isn't there usually a man who's designated a red hat man?
Queen. This is our queen.
Excuse me, I got to meet the queen. Are you Elaine?
I am, too. I'm another Elaine.
Okay, nice to meet you. And how do you get to be a red hat lady queen?
You start a chapter.
Oh, you started the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a Madison?
First one in Madison.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's how you become queen, and you'll be queen for life if you want.
Yeah. Do you have the corgis and everything else?
Everything. The wave.
You got the wave? See that again? Once again, the wave. Elaine's got the wave. And how many in your chapter?
About 20.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Red Hat Men Auxiliary?
No, but there is a group about retired old men who get together and have...
Tired old men or...
Tired old men, yeah, there is a group that... The Romeos.
Do you have certain functions with them?
No.
Not anymore, huh? Did you at one time have certain functions with them?
Oh, maybe.
Thank you, Your Highness. Here we have...
Mickey.
Mickey, and what's your story? How long have you been a Red Hat?
I've been a Red Hatter for a number of years. I was with another group, but they disbanded, and so I joined this group.
Another Red Hat group?
Yes. It's
a rival one?
It's an international group.
Yeah. We have rumbles with other Red Hat groups.
We have pajama parties.
You rumble in your pajamas? That's kind of... You're asking for trouble there.
With Universal Sound.
Universal Sound. Okay.
Have a good time with us.
I bet. Does a young policeman appear at a certain point and do a dance for you?
No.
They won't come. Sorry. They won't come and serve us.
We like
them.
Protect and serve. That's what they're supposed to do. And we have here...
Nancy.
And you've been with the group for a few years? Or?
I have been, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how many years, but enough.
You've had a good time.
Right, yeah.
What's the next big event now for the Red Hat crew?
Well, I think we're doing a picnic.
But you can't tell me where, you have to kill me, right? Yeah.
I can't tell you where. We have different hostesses every month, And they do whatever they're going to do and tell me, and I get the word out.
Do you appear on a float at a certain point?
I have.
You have?
The Middleton Parade.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. The Red Hat Ladies, ladies and gentlemen. We love them. They're always sweet. They're nice. They're cool. They know how to have a good time. And they're also a service organization, right? No. You got to like that about them. They are not a service organization. They're a social.
Service ourselves.
Service yourself is their motto among the Red Hat. And I can relate to that. I'm thinking some wine.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay, wine goes to them. And then, okay. What are we doing now?
Now you're going to play the quiz.
Oh,
well, you're
we
not going to
okay.
play the quiz, actually. But
the what do you know quiz. You saw what happened first time. It could happen again, but maybe not. So let's see the hands of those of you who think I could do that.
Michael, we have.
Huh? Yes? What? Well, I'm thinking this. We got a trivia crew here. And despite their name, they could be pretty smart. You never know. Come on over here, if you would. Come down here. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. And you are?
My name is Jingbo.
Jabo?
Jingbo.
Jingbo?
Jingbo.
Jingbo.
Yes.
How do you spell that?
Exactly how it sounds. Or J-I-N-G-B-O.
Jingbo.
Yes.
Is that your given name?
It is.
Really? Okay, cool. Jingbo, give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
I don't know how I can follow up Bill, so.
Yeah.
Figure, give me a break.
That's the poorest attempt I've ever heard of it. I know you're smart. Come on up here anyhow, because you're from a trivia team, so you know a lot of trivia. Jingbo. I got it now. I'm sorry, I thought it was like a DJ name or something.
Oh.
It's not.
No.
You don't do any DJing?
Maybe in my off time.
In your off time? What is your team called? Your trivia team?
thepansexyman@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
You single lady.
Who came up with that?
Friend Danny Panyard. He was up here earlier.
Oh, he came up with that. Funny, he couldn't remember it. What state was he in when he came up with that name is the question.
Indiana.
Oh.
Originally from Indiana.
And this trivia thing, now this is a big deal now, trivia everywhere. Everywhere you go there, trivia team, trivia. What's the deal on that for those of who are not aware of that?
Well, I think
Trends.
It's just a place to go to make you feel good about yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know.
Does that work? You feel better about yourself afterwards?
Pretty much.
Because that's what taverns are for you, and they usually are in taverns, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's, Madison Trivia over bars around here, restaurants as well.
Yeah, cool. And your team, is it well-regarded as a trivia team?
I like to think so.
Okay. Does anyone else like it?
Probably not.
No, okay. And what do you do for a living or a way of life, or are you in school?
I'm actually working here in Madison.
You are?
Or I guess Verona. Epic.
Oh, you're at Epic.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Can you tell what your job is, or do you have to kill me?
I'd like to not kill you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Working as a technical services, basically.
Yeah.
Working for different organizations, helping them out with their troubleshooting issues using our software.
Using the software, okay. All right, and everybody's on Epic software now. If you're not, you're probably disconnected. So that's cool. Jingbo.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I had my pen in my hand. I almost signed your arm, and I thought you wanted to.
Like a photograph or autograph.
Yeah. So I'm out there, we'll play along with you. That's how it works on this particular. By the way, this is not trivia. It's just.
General knowledge?
My life, as I like to say, it's my life. Okay. So how could it be trivia after all these years? And some out there will play with you in this quiz. And how does that work, Sarah?
They grab their phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. No. That's also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. Oh. And answer this qualifying question.
Yeah, they're already on there again. They do this every time.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if they sit there for an hour and a half and wait for the next quiz.
Try and get through. But shouldn't you wait for the question?
It seems to me that that would be the way to go. But
all right, here's the question anyhow. The Minnesota mother and son stole $5,000 worth of frozen what?
Gefilte fish. Sorry.
Gefilte fish. You ever see that movie? Gefilte fish. Try to say gefilte fish. You know, what's his name? Okay. The Minnesota mother and son stole $5,000 worth of frozen what? If you know, give us a call here. This made all the news locally. It was bounty stuff, I'll tell you that. These things had been frozen and returned for bounty money, but they had stolen them. But we want to know what exactly was that they stole that was worth $5,000. Frozen what? Let's go to the phones right now. I'd love to see a puzzled audience. Makes me feel good. And Roland, Arkansas, right?
Good morning.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah? Got a big day planned, or what's going on?
Well, the day started by feeding the cows and chickens and then went and climbed Pinnacle Mountain, so I'm ready to take a break.
Wow.
Hopefully win a whole kielbasa of prizes on What Do You Know.
Did you take the cows and chickens with you when you climbed the pinnacle?
No.
They made it partway, I bet. Work. Yeah.
That's right.
That's cool. Brian, here in Minnesota, made the national news, I think, when this mother and son actually are alleged to have stolen $5,000 worth of frozen what for the bounty?
Frozen what for the bounty?
Yeah. Minnesota's got all kinds of bounties. They're funny that way.
$500,000 worth of frozen, I don't know, meat, chicken, cow, something like that?
No, sorry. Sorry, Brian. I guess you'd have
Same
to be
close,
from here
huh?
to know that. Yeah. Try us again, though. Goodbye.
Will do.
Dusty's in Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Dusty.
Howdy. How's it going today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, doing okay.
Yeah.
Took a pill. I thought it was my prescription, but it was a sleeping pill.
So. Oh, no.
Sit back and enjoy the buzz, I guess.
All right. You're not operating heavy machinery or anything, are you, Dusty?
Not yet, no. I'm going to wait.
Yeah, are you going to get out there today, do a little fishing maybe, or a little...
I don't know. I'm thinking there might be some beer drinking involved.
Beer drinking on top of the pill is going to be quite a short day. It's going to be a short day for you.
Yeah, it may be. I didn't sleep last night, so oh well.
So you took the sleeping pill when you woke up. That's a very good idea.
Yeah, well, you know, what the heck. Make up for it.
Yeah. $5,000 worth of frozen what returned for bounty in Minnesota?
I believe it was like badger feet or something to that effect.
All right, I'll give you the feet part, but I don't think there's a bounty on badgers. Not even in Minnesota, where they don't like us.
I remember hearing something about this. It was an animal feat.
Go for it. Go for it. Go ahead.
It wasn't like wolves. It wasn't anything to that.
Go for it, Dusty. Go for it. Go for it.
Go for feet.
Go for feet! Dusty! Man, if you were awake, you'd be just killing it right now.
Yeah.
You're good, though. Dusty, this is Jingbo, and he's a trivia guy, so you're in luck here.
Hey, that's great. Good to talk to you, Jingbo.
Yeah, it's nice hearing from you.
Okay, so the two of you are a team right now. We collaborate in this competition. And Sarah, why are you looking at me like that? What did I do?
Not a thing.
Okay. What should they do now?
They should pick a category, and there are several from which they can pick.
Well, what are they?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Okay, Dusty, you pick first one. What would you like?
I'll go with science.
Science it is. Science. All right, if we're anything like burying beetles, who makes better fathers, young or older males? At least if you're a beetle.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. They haven't studied humans very much, but they've studied these burying beetles. They're beetles who apparently bury things.
They bury their kids when they're young?
Apparently one of them does, either the older or the younger ones. And they found something about fatherhood there, about, you know, fatherhood things. What?
I'm thinking older.
Older, he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. You know, I get more experience.
Older, yes. The older burying beetles and possibly the rest of our species are better. As it says here, they'll take care of them even when they're unsure they're theirs. I guess it's a problem for some beetle families.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Jingbo, what would you like?
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news. You'll nail this, I feel. Okay. Sunday's supermoon won't make you loony, but will you be more likely to give birth?
What kind of question is that?
One I have right here.
Well, I think personally it probably won't happen.
Yeah. statistically, if you can say that, would be more likely to give birth on a super moon, which is what, the first full moon of June or something like that? Or
well, this is, yeah, this is like the yeah. big moon where it's big closer
darn,
to the Earth.
The big darn yeah. moon, yeah. Big right. darn yeah. close moon.
Well, you know, there is something about moon affecting the tides and water, so maybe the water breaking. I don't know.
Well, I'm, you can overthink these kinds of things, though, Dustin. You know,
first moon, full moon in June. Yeah. What happens 9 months before?
That was the last bad day in September or something. I don't know. No.
September, Labor Day? Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, I could have Labor Day weekend.
Celebration, maybe?
I would say no.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
He says no.
I'm looking at the audience here.
Come on, you're the trivia guy.
I don't know if this is trivia. This is.
I told you it wasn't.
Yeah, this is your wife, right? Yeah.
It's trivial.
Yeah. So you're saying, he says no. You got to trust your partner. Trust your partner. Trust your partner.
Okay.
He says no.
Well, then I'll trust him.
I'm sorry. It's yet. No, it's no. It's no. It's no. Just kidding. Okay. Very good. No, got nothing to do with it.
That's two right and zero wrong.
And nothing to do with nothing. But it's fun to run around out there.
During the supermoon.
Yeah, like it's daylight, only it's not. Mm-hmm. And your jammies. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's left there, Sarah?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Dusty, back to you.
We'll try places.
Places. This could be anywhere. You can't find a plastic bag these days for love nor money in one of the following places. Is it Tel Aviv, Ames, Iowa, or Los Angeles?
I'm thinking Los Angeles.
Oh, you're thinking Los Angeles. What are you thinking about it, Dusty?
Well, I'm thinking that it's kind of the whole green initiative kind of a thing.
Oh. Hmm. Well, they put all their swag in if they don't have plastic bags.
Well, somebody had to market their cloth shopping bags to somebody, so...
Yeah, okay. He says Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. He was right last time.
So you're going
to... Go.
Yes, Los Angeles passed an ordinance. All no right. more plastic bags. Holy cow! Here are the cows coming back. Okay, and cows got to be fed again, apparently.
Mm-hmm. They have won.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. Well, should they just quit and go home, or what are you saying?
I really don't know. It's up to you two. If you just quit and go home, you'll get some prizes. If you risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load, you will go home with an enormous pile of fantastic prizes.
Well, you know, every week in trivia.
The wine.
Would you like an enormous pile?
Every week in trivia, we have a final question. We get the risk points. If we lose, you know, we lose all the points. Every time, we just go for 15. Full points.
What the heck?
It's a true story?
A true story.
Yeah.
True story.
It's hard to believe, but I guess it's true.
We don't win that often.
No. So you're going to go for it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they're going to go for it. They've got to get this question right. They win everything and get it wrong, however. Just get condolences.
So the categories they can choose from are people, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jingle. Mm.
People.
People?
People.
People? Bear versus shark in a fight. We want to know what people think. Who do they put their money on in a bear versus shark? Unlikely, granted, fight. Do more people take the bear or the shark?
Wow.
On land or in water?
Yeah.
We don't know the details. We know that a bear and a shark are fighting, okay? A bear and a shark are fighting. This could happen. It couldn't. All right, it couldn't happen. It might happen.
Maybe if it was a polar bear.
Oregon, Northern California, a bear could wander out there and see a shark and get really upset at him. Or maybe think he was a salmon or something with teeth, with really big teeth.
Well, you know, they always have those movies, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Yeah. You don't see any movies about bears.
No, okay. Bear versus shark. This is what people think now. How many people think the bear would win? How many people think the shark would win? Who do they think people think would win? Bear or shark?
I'd have to go bear, I'd think.
Bear. Huh? I was leaning towards shark.
He's going shark.
But you've been right so far.
Dusty's thinking bear. What's your thinking here?
Well, they've got arms and things, you know. They've got small hands.
Yeah. That doesn't impress the shark, though, really. They find
not.
Them tasty, you know. Okay.
We could go shark.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just going to get your thinking. And you're thinking shark because?
Well, you always see them in movies. You know, they're the bad villains.
Yeah.
You got Deep Blue Sea and all those sharks, Jaws. Yeah. You don't see anything about bears.
Oh, there's a few bear movies.
Well, those are good bears, like Yogi Bear.
But barely. You're right. Not as many. Okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, what's going to be, bear or shark?
We go shark.
Or bear.
Shark? Or bear? Or bear?
Or bear.
Maybe bear. I think your first instinct was right. Mike,
well,
bear?
I'm just saying this is what people think, you know? It's no right or wrong here.
Yeah, people are probably more scared of sharks. I don't know.
People are scared of sharks. They are. People seem to respect bears, though, more than they respect sharks.
Yeah.
The respect factor is kind of... Red Hat ladies, are you thinking bear or shark?
Bear.
Red Hat ladies think bear.
Might have to defer to Red Hat ladies.
I'd almost have to go with the Red Hat ladies, definitely.
Yeah.
You think bear?
Yeah, I'm saying bear.
Bear is right. More 56% think the bear is going to win. Holy cow.
Jingbo, add zest and flavor to your next cookout with a jar of medium sweet salsa, gluten-free and all-natural from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. Then take a tour of the Bells Museum of Asian and Judaic Art by Mr. Jack Bells himself on a DVD from the museum at Peabody Place in Memphis. Walk in the footsteps of a former South Carolina governor with Favorite Family Hikes, an active family's guide to walking in South Carolina from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation Press. And treat yourself to the red, white, and blue sounds of classic American music from Appalachia to rodeos on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with liner notes for The Common Man by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Dusty, discover the stories behind saddle seat pleasure and the happiest places to live in Britain in What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Then become a presidential stylist with the Obama-rama dress-up kit, including a large magnetic Barack Obama doll, along with an impressive assortment of clothing, hats, jewelry, presidential seals, and more from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. And enjoy A Cold Rain in Kansas and the Burpee Seed Company catalog song on the CD Same River Twice, by Don Lang on Rounder Records. And After the Sun Goes Down, play What Do You Know, the Party Game, including smart contestants, clever questions, and the omniscient Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Nice job. Yeah. Very instinctive. Dusty, hang on. Make sure you get that, man. Wake up. Dusty? Okay, hang on.
Tickets for our Madison shows here at Monona Terrace are still available. Actor Tom Bennett from HBO's Family Tree will be our guest next week. For tickets, go to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. And if you're looking to keep the laughs going, click over to notmuch.com where you can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrichs, our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and
Diana
Cook.
Thank you all for coming!
Technical director Tom Blinn, Aubrey Rock, and Rob
Colbert. Next week. Love ya! What about the boys?
BRI, Public Radio International.